Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today, while many in the world celebrate the birth of a new year, the church celebrates the last day of the octave of the birth of Christ by honoring his mother. While she was on earth, Mary possessed all the natural glories of womanhood. First of all, she was a daughter, offspring of the love of her parents, Joachim and Anne. Mary was also a virgin. She was pure in mind, soul, and body. She was a spouse, too, the wife of Joseph, fulfilling God's natural design for a woman to be united to a man in matrimony and to be his helper. Fourthly, Mary was a mother, giving birth at a young age to her firstborn and only son, Jesus Christ. Lastly, she was a queen as well. Her son was the legal and legitimate heir to the throne of David, and after the death of Saint Joseph, he became by birthright the king of Israel, although at that time his kingship carried with it no political temporal power. And Mary, being the mother of Jesus, was therefore the queen of Israel. As Bathsheba in the Old Testament became queen when her son Solomon ascended to the throne of Israel after King David. So there are at least five, what we can call them, natural glories of womanhood, which Our Lady possessed. But we can't truly speak about who Our Lady is without speaking about God. And so those natural glories of Mary were also crowned with a supernatural aspect, just as those who study theology learn that grace builds on nature without substituting or destroying it, so too, Mary's natural honors became, in a certain sense, the foundation upon which her supernatural dignity was established. We mentioned before that Mary is the daughter of Joachim and Anne. She's also called the daughter of the Father, because she was first in the mind of God the Father alongside of Jesus in God's plan for creation and also in his plan for redemption. And because of her central role in God's plan for humanity, she was conceived without sin as a singular privilege enjoyed by no other human person. Our Lady is also the ever-Virgin Mary, as the Church has proclaimed from its earliest years and continues to proclaim in the liturgy. Tradition tells us that Mary made a vow of perpetual virginity at an early age because she wanted to love God with an undivided heart, and that God honored that vow by allowing Mary to be a virgin before and during the birth of our Lord and to remain so afterward. The early church writers and good theologians today tell us that even our Lord's birth itself was miraculous. Our Lord was conceived in a miraculous way. He was also born in a miraculous way. He passed from the womb of Our Lady to the cave of Bethlehem as light passes through a pane of glass without damaging Mary's physical integrity in any way. A solemn definition of this truth comes to us from Pope Martin I at the Lateran Synod in 649, but the origins of the teaching of Our Lady's perpetual virginity again go back early on in the Church, even to the second century, clearly documented. And thirdly, Our Lady is the virgin spouse of the Holy Spirit, being overshadowed by the third person of the Blessed Trinity in such a way that our Lord was again conceived without her. Without her actually having the seed of man being implanted in her, conceived in a miraculous way. Fourthly, Our Lady is also a queen, not just of Israel, but she's also queen of heaven and earth. Through her maternal compassion, she redeemed humanity alongside her son while she was on this earth, and so now she reigns alongside of him in glory as well. She commands even the angels and the blessed in heaven. She's seated in glory at the right hand of her Son and such a powerful intercessor that, yes, even God himself still obeys her. God obeys her in heaven as he did on earth when he walked among us. Lastly, Our Lady is a most unique mother. As Pope Paul VI proclaimed, she's the mother of the Church, mother of all those who profess faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized. But before being mother of the church, she is the mother of God, and that's the feast that we celebrate today. What exactly do we mean when we say that Mary is the mother of God? Well, Mary is the mother of God because, very simply, Jesus himself is God, and Our Lady bore him in her womb for 9 months and then gave birth to him. The Greek title which is given to her is that of Theotokos, which literally means God-bearer, the one who bears God. Jesus is one person. He's a divine person with two natures. He has a divine nature with all the attributes of divinity attached to it, so omnipotence, all-seeing, all-knowing, etc. And he also has a human nature, which he received exclusively from the Virgin Mary. That's why in the profession of faith and the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, which we recite on Sundays and solemnities like today, where we profess that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, not simply that he was born from or by means of the Virgin Mary. To be born of Our Lady means that Jesus shares the same human nature that she has. To be born from or by means of her could be interpreted, and has been by heretics in the early church, could be interpreted that God simply passed through her in order to get into this world without really becoming man. But that belief is, of course, false. Jesus Christ is true God because he's the eternal Son, begotten eternally by the Father, so as God, he's always existed, and he's true man as well because he was begotten in time, in the fullness of time, by means of the humble virgin at Nazareth. Mary is, in fact, the most perfect human person that the world has ever known or will ever know, for that matter. Someone might say, well, what about Jesus Christ? Is Mary more perfect than him? Well, again, no, she's not more perfect than our Lord. However, remember, Jesus Christ is not a human person. He's a divine person. If you ever hear anyone say that Jesus was or is a human person, we could maybe politely smile as Our Lady might have done if she was in our shoes, and we could even perhaps perform a spiritual work of mercy, instructing the ignorant, telling people that Jesus is not a human person, by the way. He's a divine person. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity, as St. John tells us in the beginning of his gospel when he says, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. John 1, verses 1 and 14. So we should never fear or shy away from saying too much about Our Lady, or from speaking too highly of her. For those who worry about speaking too much or too highly of Mary, as if to speak about her greatness and glory were something that would take away from Jesus or distance us from her or separate us from our Lord, or to offend our Lord, no, that's not true. We just say that those people are in error. They really don't know Scripture. They don't know the power of God either, to borrow from our Lord's words. People who think that honoring and praising Our Lady takes away from Jesus don't know the Scriptures, because Mary's greatness is seen throughout the Scripture from Genesis 3:15 all the way to Revelation 12:1. That is, from the first to the last book of the Bible. And for those who have eyes to see and a heart to love, Our Lady is present in one way or another, really on every page of sacred Scripture, as the saints will tell us. And for those who shy away from speaking too highly of Our Lady, they also don't know the power of God either. Because thanks to the tremendous grace and glory which has been given to her, she's actually nearer to us and she's more loving towards us than the best of human mothers. Mary is the best of the best of all mothers, all possible mothers, all real mothers. Only God himself is closer to us than Our Lady is. To borrow a thought from St. Anselm, for those of you who maybe have heard of his proof of the existence of God, we can say that Our Lady is the greatest mother which anyone can conceive or imagine. So honoring her, praising her, speaking highly of her actually leads us to think and speak more highly of Jesus. Or speaking less of Our Lady actually diminishes the true honor that we owe to Jesus Christ. Last thing that we'll mention today is just the question of how can we truly honor the Mother of God as she deserves. The most important way we can honor her is, yes, by honoring her Son. As she herself says in the Gospel of John to the servants, she said, do whatever he tells you, right? John 2, verse 5. We honor Mary by honoring Jesus, and we honor Jesus by keeping his commandments. And I promise you that there's more peace and joy in keeping God's commandments than in going against them. More peace and joy in being faithful to him than in being unfaithful. The next way we honor the Mother of God is by trying to imitate her internal dispositions. For example, her complete trust in God, her spirit of immense gratitude towards the Lord for everything that she had received from him, her thinking humbly about herself and highly of others, her spirit of service, always looking for ways to be helpful to others, her spirit of mercy towards others as well, never judging others with critical or uncharitable spirit, but rather seeing the good in others and also seeing the potential for good in others and praying for those who made life challenging for her and for her family. Pretty much everyone did. Everyone who's ever sinned had made life challenging for Our Lady in one way or another, but she always had a spirit of mercy towards sinners. Imitating Our Lady's internal dispositions will lead to imitating her virtues and to becoming a true child of Mary. So the more we become men and women of prayer, the more we center our lives on Jesus' commandments, the more we imitate Our Lady's internal dispositions and her virtues, and the more we will truly become the person that God has created us to be. And the more we'll give true honor to the Mother of God. Again, Mary is not only God's mother, but she's our mother as well. She's our spiritual mother, and it's time that we really embrace that truth, take it to heart, and really make it our own. So let's strive to embrace this reality in the new year. The best New Year's resolution is to truly become this year a child of Mary in all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do. So I pray that Our Lady will obtain this grace for us in this new year to become truly the person that God created us to be, a true child of Our Lady, our Queen, a true child of God, our Father, and true brothers and sisters of Christ, the Heavenly King, and therefore that we will be true heirs to the kingdom of heaven. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.